Tonight I want to speak just a little bit and begin what will be a two-part message. There's no way that I can give all of it this evening, and we'll have to come back and get it again. But we've started a series, Things Every Christian Needs to Know to Be Victorious. I do understand that when we're saved, we have victory in Christ. But there is some understanding that we need to have victory daily in our lives. And when I see new converts and people come to know Christ, there's some things that I think they automatically should be taught very quickly. How to pray, how to be spirit-filled, how to follow the Lord in obedience and water baptism. But I think there's one thing that absolutely we must know and we must give time to and give heed to, and that's the Word of God. And so tonight, for a few moments, more than preach a message, I hopefully it'll be more like just kind of a little bit of a lecture and talk through and kind of a fireside chat, to steal from the past there, on how to understand the Word of God, how to enrich your Bible reading time, how to get from the Word of God all that God has intended for you to get. Now, I ask you a question. I want you to think about it and then give me an answer out loud. In the Old Testament, if we want to talk about and we want to read about the power and the depth and the life and the energy of the Word of God, what book and what chapter do you think we would go to? What would be the number one book and chapter we would visit? Anybody have a guess? It is in the Old Testament. Anybody know? All right, you're all whispering it to your neighbor, big chickens. All right, say that. Psalms is the book. What's the chapter? The longest chapter in the Bible. 119. All right, so find Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is absolutely loaded with instruction and love and words about the Word of God. You will hear the Word of God used in different words as far as precepts and ways and statutes and all of that. But Psalm 119 is the great, great passage on the importance of the Word of God. And so we're going to be in that psalm. Now, we're going to be in a ton of verses in this psalm as we go back and forth. There's 176 of them. And I'm not going to do an exposition on all 176 verses. And God's people said amen. And I say amen to that myself. But I do want to walk us through some keys to understanding the Word of God, to becoming a victorious Christian. By the way, that you will not have victory in your Christian life if you're not in the Word of God. Amen. It is priority that we spend time reading, meditating, and obeying the Word of God. If the only Bible that we get is here at church, then we're not getting the fullness of what God has for us. And so I hope and pray that you have a daily time reading the Word of God. You say, well, Pastor, my husband, he bought me one of these calendars, and they're for like moms, and they got a little verse on the bottom, and every day I wake up and I read that. That's my Bible reading, right? No, that's not. That may be so you don't kill your husband, which is good, but we need more than that. We need a deep study and reading and meditation of the Word of God. You say, well, that sounds like that's too much for me or over my head. I'm going to show you tonight that it's not. Now, before I get into some practical things, I think there's three things that you absolutely have to hang your hat on when it comes to the Word of God. And three traits about the Word of God that we need to remember. Number one, if you're taking notes, and I do suggest you write some notes down. Leave yourself some space between these, but write down the word timeless. Write down the word truthful, and write down the word treasured. The Bible is timeless, it is truthful, and it is treasured. By way of introduction, let me show you some things. Go to verse 89. Verse 89, and let me show you what God says about the timelessness of the Word of God. The psalmist writes, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, we cross that verse a lot, but I want us to understand, forever, O Lord, forever. That means from eternity past to eternity future, forever the word of the Lord is settled in heaven. The Bible is not the book of the month. It's not your monthly publication. It's not a magazine. It's not to be read as a fictional book. It's not to be read as a novel. It is the living word of God. And God's people said, amen. Okay, it doesn't contain the word of God. Sometimes I hear people say, well, the Bible contains the word of God. No, you don't understand. The Bible is the word of God. Big difference in that. And the psalmist said that it's timeless. Look at verse 152. Verse 152, he says, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. So the word of God has been founded forever. Look at verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. What does that mean? That means that the Bible's here to stay when other books go away. All right? Now, Pastor, why was it important that I understand the timelessness of the word of God? Now get this, and this will help you. Especially independent fundamental Baptists. Probably we as a group, more than any other group, are referred to by the emerging church. How many have heard about the emerging church? All right, maybe the progressive churches, they look at us and they see us as being old-fashioned. I think most of the people that attend different churches outside of Plantation Baptist Church, if they were to come into our church today, they would think our church to be old-fashioned a little bit. Is the Bible old-fashioned? No, the Bible's not old-fashioned. The Bible is timeless. Now, why is that imperative for my understanding? That's imperative for my understanding because as people move forward and try to get us to progress and try to get us to emerge, they try to bring new light or add things to what the Word of God says. When I tell you this, this book was written for all ages, which means you can base your marriage on this. You can base your relationship to your children. You can base your hope. You do not have to go away from what the Word of God said. If it worked for the ages to past, it will work for the ages to come. It is the timeless Word of God. Amen. Okay. So Pastor, other churches do it this way. And other people, you know, they're progressing and they're moving forward and they're like, they're pioneering new ways. No, when God gave the word of God, it is timeless. So don't feel old fashioned in sticking with the word of God. Stick with it because it's timeless. It knows no age. It knows no century. It knows no fad. It is the timeless word of God. You know why you need to understand that? Because we need courage to stick by it. Because I promise you, if you structure your family on the word of God, you're going to be made fun of. You're going to be challenged that the word of God is not complete enough in of itself, and you need to progress and you need to emerge in your understanding and you need to come into the 21st century and you need to, this is the way we're doing church now. No, let it be said, we're anchored to the book. Okay? So it's timeless. Second thing, it's truthful. In verses one, look at verse 142. Verse 142, he says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness and thy law is the truth. Look at verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Look at verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of the righteous judgments endureth forever. We had that verse again. Do you remember when Jesus was before Pilate? Pilate asked the Lord Jesus, what's truth? What is truth? Jesus answered that in John 17. Let me read you this verse. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you. The question came in John 18, but in John 17, verse number 17, Jesus, praying to the Father, said this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So if I ask you what truth is, somebody answer to me, what is truth? Come on. God's word. Who is God's word? Jesus is. In the beginning was the word. All right, you should have learned that in Sunday school today. So the Lord Jesus is the embodiment of truth. He is truth, and the word of God is truth. Now, if anything's being attacked today, it's the truth of the Bible. I got these three kind of attacks. There's a frontal attack. The frontal attack is kind of easy to defend. That's the guy who stands on a pulpit and just vehemently denies the word of God. That guy's not going to have much sway with you and I hope. There's a rear attack that's a little bit more subtle. All right. Here's how truth is attacked from the rear. I guess this would be, I don't care, whatever way, one way or the other. All right. Truth, they get right in their face and they deny it. But the rear attack does this. Well, Pastor, I know what the Bible says, but let me tell you about real life. The rear attack is, I know, but I just feel. Well, I know, but God understands. I had some people tell me this week, Pastor, you know, they weren't doing something that is explicit in the Word of God. And they said, well, you know, we just can't. God knows our situation. God knows where we are. And God just understands I'm doing the best I can. That is a rear attack on the truth of God's word. The rear attack puts our own experience over the Bible. Boy, you let that hammer our hearts, because a lot of times we'll think, well, I know what the Bible says, but Pastor, man, I got to have some practical. This is real life. My friend, the Bible is timeless and it's truthful. There's also a flank attack. The flank attack is the one that doesn't come from the rear or the front, but they kind of flank you on the side and take pot shots at you. And those are people that try to prop it up with psychology or philosophy. Let me explain something to you that'll help you with this, and then I'm going to give you some other things. This book needs no support. Amen? It doesn't need. It's the Bible. Okay? We don't need to prop it up. You don't need to feel like you've got to somehow take something and prop the word of God up for it to be true. It stands on its own. Okay? It is the word of God. So it's timeless and it's truthful. And it's how do you know it's truthful, Pastor? Well, I could get into that, but that's how God breathed it. It's inspired. But it's also treasured. If it's timeless and it's truthful, it should be treasured. Look at verse number 72 of this great chapter. In verse number 72, he says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Now, when I was studying that, I had to stop and say, Thomas, is this really true? Do I really think that the Bible is better unto me than $1 million? Are you telling me that the Bible is better unto me than my investments? The Bible is better unto me, he says, than thousands of gold and silver. Look at verse 103. In verse 103, he says this, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Now, we treasure sweet things. Matter of fact, Nestle got a hold of that idea, and they sell now these little candy bars, and they're called treasures, aren't they? I love them. I buy them by the bags of them, all right? So sweetness is treasure. Look at verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So it's treasured more than gold or silver. It's sweeter than honey. Go to verse 127. Because of that, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. All right, I ask you a question. Do you know why the Bible is treasured? Why is the Bible treasured? I think the little song says it best. Jesus loves me, this I know, for Bible tells me so. You know why the book is treasured to me? Not only because it's timeless and it's truthful, but it tells me about the love of God. It tells me about the righteousness of God. It tells me how to be right with God. It tells me God's will. It tells me God's power. It tells me things to watch out for. It tells me how to be a husband. It tells me how to be a father. It tells me how to be a worker. The Bible instructs me in every way of life. And so it is to be treasured. Now, if if I told you that there was a buried treasure in your backyard, would not we go and dig it up? All right? So, treasure that's buried must be dug up. So if it's going to be dug up, biblically speaking, then that means I'm going to have to spend time in digging it out. All right? And so, by way of introduction, the Word of God is timeless, the Word of God is truthful, and the Word of God is treasured. And we need to understand that. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, speaks about the Word of God being quick and powerful. And that word powerful there carries with it the idea of being effective and energy. It's the same Greek word where we get our word energy. In John, Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life." All right? So the Bible pulsates with life. For example, let's take a cookbook. Men buy their wives cookbooks early in their marriage and then figure out that was not the best gift to buy your wife. Amen? Speaking from experience. But a cookbook, what good is a cookbook if we don't follow the recipes? Somebody say, any good at all or no? No. All right? The design of a cookbook is you open it up, you read it, you follow it, and then you do what with what you've cooked? Come on. You eat it. Okay, we eat it. So we read, we're instructed, we prepare, and we eat. Now, that's what the Word of God is to us. It's life unto us. It's energy unto us. So we read it. It instructs us. We're prepared. We digest it. We take it in. And it is to be a blessing to us. And so I've got five or six things here real quick if you're taking notes that I think will help you when you read the Word of God to get the full taste of the Word of God, to get the full blessing and help you in your quiet time. Number one, when you read the Word of God for it to be effective, pray. Pray over the Word of God. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Look at verse number 12 of this great chapter. All right, look at verse 12. "Blessed art thou, O Lord." Somebody finish the verse with me. Verse number 12. "Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes." Now, have you ever prayed that? Have you ever read the Word of God and then stopped and prayed for God to teach you the Word of God? Most of us, we read it and we're like, "Well, I don't understand, so let me keep reading." And the way most of us treat Bible reading is we read until we find something we do what? Until we find something we understand. So you sit down to do your Bible reading and you'll read six or eight verses you don't understand. You'll read six or eight verses more and you don't understand. Finally, you'll come to a verse you understand and you'll think, "Okay, thank you, Lord, that blessed my soul." All right? Well, what about the other verses? You see, when I read the Word of God, I'm to pray that God teach me the statutes. Never, never, never do your Bible devotions or your reading without praying for the Spirit of God to illumine the Word of God to you. It's imperative that you do that. I know many times I'll read passages and I'll say, "God, I have no idea what that means, but you got to teach me that." And God will begin. What happens when I pray over the Word of God? Well, look at verse number 18. In verse number 18, "When I ask God to teach me thy statutes, then open thou mine eyes." Mine eyes are open, "that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You see, we count on our physical eyes just to pick up things that kind of recollect with us. But when I ask God to teach me, God opens my spiritual eyes and opens my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And by the way, there are wondrous things. Well, you say, "Pastor, sometimes I just read the Word of God and I'm not moved." Well, look at verse 36. In verse 36, he said, "Incline my heart. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness." So when I pray over the Word of God and I ask him to teach me, my eyes are open and then my heart is stirred. A lot of times, We never give our heart an opportunity to be stirred by the reading of God's word because we're simply waiting for something intellectually to pop. And why are we waiting for something intellectually to pop? Because we're in a hurry and we got to get to work and we got to get the kids to school and we got to do this and we got to do that. So I sit down and I read and I wait for something intellectually to pop and I think I've been blessed of God. But my spiritual eyes haven't been opened. I really haven't grasped the wonders of the word of God and my heart's really not stirred, but my conscience is kind of okay now to go forward. All right? Now, once you've done that, your eyes are open and your heart is stirred, then look what happens to your mind in verse number 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. So my eyes are open, my heart is stirred, and then my mind is enlightened to receive the word of God. And so the importance of praying when I read the Bible is that my eyes are open, my heart is stirred, and my mind is enlightened. Now, I don't know how you go into your Bible reading time. When I sit down to do my Bible reading time, normally I begin with singing. You say, God help your wicked soul. I mean, I know it's bad. But I begin singing. I'll sing a chorus. I'll sing a verse. I may sing a hymn we've sung here. I begin with singing. And then as I've sung a little bit, then I say, now, Heavenly Father, I'm going to open the Word of God. I want you to teach me the Word of God. Spirit, illumine the Scripture to me. And I begin to read. And I begin to concentrate on every word of what He is saying. The importance of praying over the Word of God. Number two. Not only do we pray over the Word of God, but we ponder, to keep our outline, ponder the Word of God. Look at verse number 15. In verse number 15, excuse me, of Psalm 119, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Okay, so there's the word meditation. Go to verse 147. Let me show you what it says here. In verse 147, he says, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. What was he saying there? He's saying, I meditate and I do most of that in the quiet time in the morning. Look at verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. What is he saying? He's saying to ponder the word of God takes time. It takes meditation. It takes quietness. Let me talk to mothers with small children. You're not going to be able to read your Bible and feed your baby and care for your house and do all of that and think that you're getting from the word of God all you can. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have any other time in the world to do that. I mean, from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, I'm on the go, I'm on the go, I'm on the go. I understand that. And sometimes men who work jobs, they think, well, Pastor, I get up at 4:30 in the morning. I can't get up at 3 o'clock to read the word, and I can't do that. There may not be a specific time, but it is imperative that we find a quiet time to ponder the word of God. Okay? Please do not let man's tradition put pressure on you. Okay? Yes, there's something to getting up in the morning, and there's something special about that early time. The Lord Jesus did it. Yes, he did. However, some may not be able to do that. Maybe your time's in the evening. Mothers with small children, maybe your time's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when they go and take a nap. We have to find that time, but we pray and then we ponder the word of God. By the way, use common sense. Use common sense when you start to read the Word of God and ponder the Word of God. When you ponder the Word and you begin to read the Word of God, don't just open up to Mark chapter 15 and start reading. If you're going to read the book of Mark, where should you start? Chapter 1. Chapter 1. It's amazing. See, and if this is you in your Bible reading, I'm not scolding you by no means, but I'm just telling you, you're not getting out. Sometimes we sit down and say, God wants me to read here today. That's not what God wants. God's systematic. God's a God of order. God wants you to begin with chapter 1 and read through. Okay? So we use some common sense in pondering the Word of God. Let me give you 6 questions. Write these questions down. These are great questions when you read the Word of God. 6 questions to ask when studying, 6 questions that will help you ponder the Word of God. Here they go. Number 1, is there a promise to claim in this reading? I am looking for a promise that God has given to me that I can claim, something I can hang my hat on, all right? Is there a promise to me? Number 2, is there a lesson to learn? Is there a lesson to learn? Maybe he's talking to me about investing. Maybe he's talking to me about loving my wife. Maybe he's talking to me about the dangers what's that word that I was going to use there? Of being surety for somebody. Is there a lesson to learn? Third question, is there a blessing to enjoy? Is there some blessing here? Am I missing out? If God says obey here, is there a blessing here? Fourth, is there a command to obey? Is God telling me to do something? Is there some command here? Number 5, is there a sin to avoid? And then the 6th one I'm going to have to give you a little bit of instruction on, but write it down. Is there a new truth to carry with me? Now, that doesn't mean that there's new truths to be added to the Word of God. If anybody ever tells you, I've found a new truth and it's outside the Word of God, you tell them, get thee behind me, Satan, and I absolutely have no time for you. All truth is incorporated in the Word of God. But sometimes I read and I learn something new. I learn that I was doing something, but I shouldn't be doing that. Or I was not doing something and I should be doing that. And so I ask myself in the pondering of these, is there a promise to claim? Is there a lesson to learn? Is there a blessing to enjoy? Is there a command to obey? Sin to avoid? And is there a new truth to carry with me? Now, may I make just a simple suggestion to you? Never read your Bible without pen and paper. Never do it. Because as you begin to read and answer these, you will see. So we pray and we ponder, all right? Now, the third thing I want you to see in this is the preservation of the Word of God. We preserve the Word. Look at verse number 11. I hope this is helpful to you. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Excuse me. Look at verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. What is he saying here? For me, as I read the word of God, I pray and then I ponder, but I must preserve the word of God, which means that I hide it in my heart. So how do I hide God's word in my heart? Memorize. Okay, let me ask you a question. Somebody stand up and give me a verse you memorized this week. Don't give me one you learned when you're 6 years old. Give me one you learned this week. Okay? Now let the pastor show you something. I got to sit down too. Because I didn't memorize a verse this week. But he said, hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Does that mean that I can just memorize and I won't ever sin? No, that means that as I digest the word of God, I memorize the word of God, and it's on my heart, then it's on my lips, it's on my mind, and as I go through life, when I'm presented with opportunities, I don't speak my opinion. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak the what? Oracles of God. Okay? So what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say if you're 110 or you're 30, we should be memorizing verses. We should be hiding God's word in our heart. Shame on us to think that that's just for the children over there. We ought to do the same. All right? So we pray, we ponder, we preserve, and then we practice the word of God. Go to verse number 1. I'll read you the first 5 verses here. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the, excuse me, I got to take a drink, in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. What are you talking about, Pastor? What I'm talking about is, it's not just enough to recite and memorize God's word. I must practice it in obedience, okay? And if you want to learn more about the word of God, then we obey what we have already. That's imperative, and that'll help us in our Bible reading. A lot of times, God shows us a truth when we read the Word of God and we shelve it or we table it. And we say, well, that's too difficult for me. That's too hard. Or God, that one kind of stung a little bit. Let me read and see if I can find something a little bit more comfortable. Have you ever done that? Sure we have. We read and we think, I'm not sure that I'm going to submit to that one. Let me just keep reading so my soul can be blessed. And God says, no, I'm not going to walk you past that. I want you to be directed to keep my statutes. I brought you here. So if I want to learn more about the Word of God, then I obey what I know already. That's important. That's imperative. So I pray, I ponder, I preserve, I practice. And lastly, and we're doing good, I proclaim the Word of God. Now walk with me, verse number 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. All right, verse 27. Knowing that, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. All right, verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Verse 172. In verse 172, it says, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. What are you trying to say? Really and truthfully, to help our understanding of the Bible, and so that we grow in our understanding and more sticks with us, the more we speak about it, the more we learn. The more we give out, the more that sticks to us. And so as I intake the Word of God, then I proclaim the Word of God. And you'll be amazed. You will absolutely be amazed that as you read the Word of God and God gives you a truth, normally, that truth is not for you only. A lot of times I've read the Word of God and I've been encouraged and I'll go about my day and I'll run into somebody and they'll share with me where they are, and the Spirit of God will move on my heart to share with them what I just read. And so that's how God works. The truth that I receive for me, then I'm able to proclaim it to somebody who needs that. How many have ever found that to be true? You've had opportunity? Sure. All right, so Pastor, when it comes to understanding the Bible and understanding our importance there, and we're going to talk about some other things next week, there's some keys to the victorious life. We understand that the Bible's timeless, it's truthful, and it is to be treasured. And when I read it, I should pray that my eyes are open, pray that my heart will be stirred, pray that my mind will be enlightened. I'll ponder the Word of God, I'll meditate the Word of God. Let me just say one thing about this since I got 2 minutes on meditation. If you're going to meditate anything, it better be the Word of God. Because if you start meditating anything else, and you're opening yourself up for a lot of trouble. You can go to yoga class if you want to lose weight. And I know a lot of people are doing that these days. Some of my friends, they go to those yoga classes and they say, well, we're going to yoga because we lose weight. Are they losing weight? If they are, I don't see it. Some way they're finding it wherever they're losing it. But you cannot just free your mind. The most absolute dangerous thing you can do is meditate anything else but the Word of God. For example, you start meditating what it would be like to be married to somebody else, you're on your way. You start meditating what relationships, intimate or otherwise, would be with somebody else, and you've already opened the door for the enemy. You start meditating what it would be like if you didn't give so much money. Or you start meditating what it would be like, well, if I didn't give so much time. Or you start meditating those kind of things, and you start letting your mind focus on that, and you've already opened the door. Be very careful about what you meditate on. You can trust the Word of God. Amen. It's truthful. And I meditate the Word of God. I read it. I ponder it. I pray over it. But outside of that, don't step over anything with meditation. Then I preserve it by hiding it in my heart, have a memorization program. I practice it through obedience, and I proclaim it by giving out. I promise you, based on the authority of God's Word, that if you will submit yourselves to those and practice those things before you read, your Bible reading will take on new measure and new hope. and it is important. The average Christian spends very, very little time in the reading of God's Word. And I want our church to be a Bible reading, Bible preaching, Bible knowledge church. Amen? We desire those things. So you can put some of those in practice. I think they'll be a blessing to you. Next week we'll go a little bit further in our study. But if you practice those over the week, I think you'll enjoy it. Kevin, you and Malcolm come. We're going to sing our way out of here while you're coming. You, the rest of us stand. We'll pray and we'll go home. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for the Word of God. It is timeless. They can call me old-fashioned. They can tell me that I need to add psychology or philosophy to the Word of God. My friends may think that I'm not emerging or progressing in my faith. But as for me and my family, we'll serve the Lord. We'll anchor our soul and anchor our home on the Word of God. The Word of God is God-breathed. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so, God, it's timeless. And I can raise a family in South Florida on the Word of God. Absolutely. I don't have to move to wherever to raise my family. Grass isn't greener. The Word of God is still the Word of God. And yeah, it's a wicked place down here. But I can still order my home on the Word of God. So thank you for that. Give us courage. God, I'm concerned for our young families. I want you to give them courage tonight. Give the husband courage to base his home on the Word of God. Give the wife courage to submit herself to that. It's the timeless, eternal Word of God. It's truth. Just because man may say there's a better way, there's no better way than the Lord's way. And it's to be treasured. It's to be dug. It's to be given time. And as I sit down to read, I pray, teach me, God. You're the great teacher. And then I ponder and I meditate and I look for those things about those questions. And I see what's there for me. And then I preserve it by hiding it in my heart. And I practice it through obedience. And then I proclaim it by giving it out to the glory of God. Thank you. We need this. I don't care if we've been saved one day or 100 years. We need to know the importance of reading the Word of God. Thank you for God's people that came out tonight. God, get us home safe. You got us here safe. Get us home safe. May we enjoy. Some of us are going to people's house, and some may be having some parties, or some may be relating to one another. Whatever, may it be done in the name of Christ, to the glory of God, to the sharpening of our brothers, until we meet again. Bless us and keep us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.